Welcome to the Scare Guy Show, the place where we celebrate everything that's scary fun, from horror events and haunted attractions to scary films, trick or treat, news of the macabre, and everything that it makes us really excited. My name is Jim, and right before we start the show, I got a little tiny thing. Go.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday to you. Happy
birthday to you.
Do you guys know whose birthday it is?
Today no. Or like recently?
Happy birthday, the Scare Guy. Five years. By the way, it's 5 years exactly to this week. We started July 26th. In 2017. So what that means, we are beginning the sixth season of The Scare Guy, and I could not be more excited about that. I'm going to find our overlay. Bam. Scare Guy. My name is Jim. I am your horror host for tonight's escapade down the realms of dark and dreary. I'm just kidding. It's going to be so much fun tonight. We are talking about Midsummer Scream and the brand new trailer for Halloween, but we have some of my favorite, for lack of a better word, scream queens, although the two ladies here are rarely screaming. They're usually the ones scaring me. So let's go ahead and start with the original con girl. If you could introduce yourself.
All right. It's me, KT underscore Christine, a.k.a. since it is the scary side of the con guy, usually it's final girl, Katie. Final girl. Excited to finally, you know, once Comic-Con ends, it's like I can officially go full force to Halloween. Technically 4th of July, but Comic-Con is still part of summer. So, you know, but I'm excited. I already bought some Halloween decorations. So I am so excited that we're getting started on the spooky season.
I agree with Katie. Like the day after Comic-Con for me is the beginning of Halloween season, but we have a really special guest who is joining us. She'll be joining us when she is able for the Scare Guy. And I will let her introduce herself.
My name is Natalie Michelli. I'm a filmmaker in Los Angeles and produced a very funny and kind of scary horror film called Fear, Inc., which Jim is a very big fan of. So
I am.
And it's actually streaming on Peacock right now, so you can check it out for free.
Oh, it's on Peacock?
Yeah.
Oh, that's exciting. For those of you who may have been around for the 5 years of the Scare Guy Show, we have had Natalie on before. She is the producer, like she was talking about, of Fear, Inc. It's kind of like, if you like Scream, you will like Fear, Inc. It's scary, it's gross, it's funny, and it's got some really cool surprises in there. And it's got a lot of fun surprises. And it's got a great opening scene with a cool celebrity guest star. So I really love that as well.
Yeah.
And we have one more person who will be joining us. Cheese on the couch will be joining us in just a second. He's doing laundry. He's about to come in. But Natalie, your first time in like a host chair on the show. One thing we usually do with everybody, let me just say real quick, if this will come through. Lily, hello. Happy birthday, Scare Guy. Good to see you, Lily. I saw Lily. She lives down in Tijuana, and she came up and met us at Comic-Con just this past week. And it was really good to see you, Lily. Good to see you there. And hopefully we will have a lot of fun tonight. But Natalie, horror, what did it for you? What is the horror movie, the experience? When did you get hooked into horror?
Definitely when I was younger. So I would say my parents allowed us to watch things that were so inappropriate for our age. So things that I look back on now and I'm like, how old was I when I saw this movie? And so, you know, my mom especially really loved, you know, Psycho and, you know, a few movies growing up that we would really watch. And we would always kind of do a big Halloween celebration with our family, and we'd decorate the house and have parties. And so it was kind of always a part of our culture. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they were a little bit surprised, like, oh, why do you like horror movies so much? I'm like, really?
Like, you don't?
Yeah. I'm like, this seems surprising to me that this isn't something that we look forward to, and building our costumes and figuring out what we're going to be. And, you know, and my brother and I are still that way.
Katie, what about you?
For what? What was the question again? Sorry.
When did you? Because Katie, you've got a pretty intense love affair with Halloween Horror Nights, costuming, some of the more macabre. When did your fascination with horror begin?
So not, I'd say in the last like 6 years or so, when I started working at Universal and 2016 is when I kind of got more into the horror thing. In my first Horror Nights, might have been 2015. I think it was 2015. I had watched a little bit of horror before that, but I wasn't like massively into it. I didn't grow up watching horror. Like, the only horror I remember watching as a kid was M. Night Shyamalan's films, which are just very super mild. But like, I had seen Signs and I had seen The Sixth Sense, and The Sixth Sense absolutely terrified me as a kid. Like, I thought I was going to see dead people, that type of scary. I know it's like so dumb to think about it now, but as a kid, seeing like this kid who sees dead people, your brain goes, well, how, if he can see them, like, am I going to see them? And for the longest time, I wouldn't rewatch that movie because it literally terrified me from the few minutes. My mom even told me, like, I was like just walking through, you know, when the adults are having like a movie night and they're like, you're not going to like this, you're not going to watch it. But then you like kind of walk out like, I'm going to go get some water. And then you just stand there for a second watching the movie and you're like, they're like, you're going to regret it. And I did in fact regret watching that like 5 minutes of it. But after getting involved with Horror Nights, I just kind of like love it. And the community in Southern California for horror is just, everybody is so into horror here in Southern California. I don't know how it is in the rest of the country, but it's kind of hard not to be surrounded by it and not find something that you love about it. I like the incorporation of live entertainment here in Los Angeles with horror.
I do think that Southern California is probably the epicenter of the Halloween industry in America. We're right next to the Hollywood industry itself. So many specialists and special effects, makeup, the giant theme parks and everything. I know that there's been a debate that is it Los Angeles, Orlando, which one is the Halloween capital of America? Oh, by the way, Natalie,
my cat is joining.
Wait, can we see? Oh.
Well, he's now here. You're going to look up here. See?
What's his name?
Charles.
Charles. If somebody were to ask me, when did my love of horror Halloween start? I just show them this picture right here.
Oh, so cute.
We need to have an episode where we kind of all just show like all of our old costumes and stuff. Yeah. Like, even though I wasn't into horror, I was always into Halloween. Like, because I obviously my love of costumes started at a young age and I didn't even fully understand it until I got older in life. But it was always like, what are we going to make this year? Because my family, we always made our costumes out of stuff we had, or my dad, who was very creative, would make stuff for us. Like, I was Catwoman one year and he made my costume. So that would be a fun thing for us to show. Like, we should just
For me, like, I had the benefit of, and the curse, but the benefit, I had the best upbringing. My parents were the best, but they were very young and they still loved Halloween as kids when I showed up. And so, my mom always wanted a girl, so for the first two Halloweens that she dressed me up like a little girl and took me around. There are pictures of that, but I don't post those. But for me, and let me pull this up one more time. If you notice, see the little plastic suits we have on? Those were those back in the 70s and 80s. Everybody had a little cheap, is it D.L. Cooper? I'll have to look it up. The window box Halloween costumes that came in all the drugstores, and everybody had the same costumes. I'm fascinated with those now. At Comic-Con, had a booth where they had all these old masks hanging up, and you could buy them for lots and lots of money. If you go over to Burbank to the Halloween Town store, they have some of these original, I think it's DB Cooper, I'm gonna have to look it up, the old window box costumes, but they have the costume that I was wearing. I'm gonna show it one more time. Frankenstein. They have that mask hanging up on their wall for sale for $75. My mom and dad probably got it for $1.95, but that's because I am older. Anyway, so what we're going to talk about tonight, but is for those of you who are tuning in, we have two big things we're going to talk about. This weekend is Midsummer Scream, what many of us consider the kickoff to our Halloween season. It is the largest. It bills itself now as the largest Halloween and horror convention in the country. I didn't know it had grown so fast. It kind of sprung off. Let me say hello here. Hello, Jonathan Wilkinson, Spooky Scary Skeletons. Oh, wait. Lily had the same costumes. All right, we do have somebody who's going to be joining the podcast. Please join when you get a chance. But so we're going to be talking about Midsummer Scream. Hello, look who's there. There we go. Yes.
Hello. What's up, everybody? You. It's Cheeseman.
Hello. Thanks for joining us.
What's that?
I said thanks for joining us.
Yeah, finally, right?
But you, what were you saying, Luke? Introduce yourself, please. Or Cheeseman. Oh.
Well, I am Cheeseman, one of the founding members of thescareguy.com and screenwriter. And I like that Natalie's drinking wine.
Of course.
Okay, I was going to bring this up real quick before we jump in. We're talking Midsummer Scream and then the Halloween trailer. But the funny, like Natalie, she asked me right before the show, she goes, I just want to know, what is the rating of the show? You know, in other words, she's asking me how, you know, cussing. And then she said, what about drinks? And I said, listen. We are for the most part a PG-13 show, which means plenty of drinking. Yeah, we usually call ourselves the Scare Guy Happy Hour. Everybody usually has to drink. This is my zombie head drink right now that I've got.
Natalie, ooh, what's cute! I like it. Isn't it? Let's cool? have a rosé.
All right, cheers.
Cheese cheers.
Banana. Anything for those of you in the lower quarters?
Just us two.
Just water. Caffeine right now.
All right, no worries. So, And since this is our, and Luke, you missed it. Look at this. Check this out. This week is the fifth birthday of the Scare Guy show. We started exactly 5 years ago this week. I didn't realize it was to the day. It wasn't to the day. It was to the week. We started like 3 days ago to the week, 5 years. So we've just started our sixth season. So since we're starting our sixth season, I just want to explain to everybody, we are a show all about horror events, horror movies, everything that's scary, fun. For the most part, we remain about PG-13, but since we do talk about horror films, we will sometimes get a little bit more edgy, and I just want you guys to know that right up front. We will try our best not to be banned by Apple. They have a, not banned, but like they mark you as explicit.
Explicit,
and then
yeah.
So we try not to do that, but sometimes it slips out. All right, Cheeseman, we all talked about it since it's the very first episode of season six. When did your interest in this type of haunted experiences, movies, what is it that did it for you?
Well, actually the interest was a disinterest originally. Being a little kid going by the video store and seeing all the scary movies kind of freaked me out, seeing Chucky or Freddy or something. So being afraid of something and then getting to the age where you're old enough to not be afraid of it kind of creates the interest, you know, because it's kind of like conquering your fears. Mm-hmm. And of course, Jaws, my favorite movie when I was 8 years old.
I see it.
Not
on the wall
just when
you
were 8 years old.
What's that?
I said not when just when you were 8 years old. That kind of.
Yeah. No, it continued forever. And ever.
I don't suppose you have that brand new Jaws close enough right now that you could, or is it somewhere else?
I think it is.
He'll find
Hold on. If you want to grab it, if you look behind him, he also has Batman dressed up in his tiki vest for the holiday. So Midsummer Scream is a convention that started probably, I think it's 4 years old. It might be five. It started back when Scare Guy started. There used to be this convention called it was called Scare LA. And it was a great convention. And then some of the people from Scare LA, they split off and they decided to start a second convention. And that's where we got Midsummer Scream. It set up shop down in Burbank. And I tell you what, it has grown so fast. And like I said, it's the largest Halloween and horror convention in the country right now. And it is coming to town, Burbank. By the way, we are
Burbank
on the West Coast.
I think
it's in Long Beach.
Long Beach normally, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I remember Scare LA was Pasadena, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Scare LA was Pasadena. At one time, Scare LA was downtown at the convention center downtown, but that just didn't work out. And so Scare LA does not happen anymore. You know, hopefully it'll come back someday, but right now everybody goes to Midsummer Scream. All right, show us real quick, Cheeseman, and we're going to jump into Midsummer Scream.
So you want to see the shark from Comic-Con?
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess it's not an unboxing, it's like an unbagging.
Oh,
bag the shark.
Bag. This string for the adult man needs a big 24 inch or however big this is plush of a shark, but The kids are going to
like
love
get a
it
tank for it. Just like
it's going to be your new cuddle buddy.
What's that?
Is this your new cuddle buddy at night when you go to sleep?
I think it could be, and it's got stuff inside its belly. You know, like in the movie.
Oh,
so does he really? It's
in the shark's belly when we slice it open.
Oh, what's in
got,
there?
We got a little Hall H sign. That's been bitten into.
That's great.
We got a little tank that it's going to probably blow it up later. We have the license plate. It did not eat a car. We have the Alex Kittner little raft bitten. No blood. I'm a little disappointed. We got Peppet, the well-debated dog that actually had a little cameo. The name was very similar in the movie The Meg. And a piece of the beloved orca.
Oh.
All can fit within the belly of this giant shark.
That's actually really funny.
You robbed me of money again.
That's pretty cool. All right. And for those of you who are wondering what kind of podcast we are, we are about all things scary, fun, even Charlie Brown. This is talking about we're not all blood and guts, right, Charlie? No. So this is a safe spot for anyone who loves horror and loves anything scary. Every once in a while, we'll jump into the Charlie Brown stuff. Luke had that stuffed animal, so I couldn't resist. All right, let's talk about Midsummer Scream. Midsummer Scream. I'll give you a few of the details real quick, and then we're going to jump into Natalie. Have you been to Midsummer Scream?
I haven't. I've been to Scare LA though.
It's real similar. It's real similar. Yeah. So it's the world's largest Halloween and horror convention. It is this weekend, July 29th through July 31st, Friday through Sunday. You can explore multiple haunted attractions in the Hall of Shadows, shop from more than 350 vendors this year, including horror-themed apparel, creepy home decor, special effects, makeup, masks, and costumes. Enjoy a giant load of panels. They have more panels than I've ever seen them have before, and presentations.
Which is the leading interesting.
I know they have really steeped up their game in this.
Considering it's like post, like still pandemic, like post biggest one since the pandemic.
Right.
Usually it's been like less panels. So I'm kind of shocked by that.
A weekend ticket, $63 for general admission. Friday is $32, Saturday $47, Sunday $37. And the tickets are going really fast. They also have the gold bat pass for $135, which basically gets you front of line, front of the seats for everything in there. All right.
Kids 10 and under receive free general admission with a paid adult.
Yes. And they did. And what you were, and Katie mentioned COVID right now, the city of Long Beach is not requiring masks inside. So just know that if you're still kind of need to be careful, if you have any kind of compromised immune system, you should be aware of that. But if you want to wear a mask, go ahead and wear a mask. It's right in line with what this is. There's going to be tons of cosplay and dressing up. But let's talk a little bit about Midsummer Scream. Katie, you've been many times.
I haven't been to Midsummer Scream, actually.
What? Really?
Yeah. No, right, you can call that the lovely 9-to-5 job. but I've been to Scare LA.
Yep.
I've been to Scare LA, but not Midsummer Scream. I've always wanted to go to Midsummer Scream. Sorry, I was just making sure that there was no proof of vaccination negative COVID tests requirement, which it says there is not currently.
However,
things could change, though.
I was going to say, things could change very quickly by, you know, it starts tomorrow. If you guys are seeing this on Thursday night, throughout the weekend, who knows? But I doubt, usually when they make those big
changes. That was as of the 27th, so that was yesterday. Right. So it says it's recommended,
right?
But does not require masking in most circumstances, but it does say conditions change often. So
in 2019, was it 2019? No, in 2018, which was the last time they had the big Midsummer Scream. They had a smaller one just this past fall, but when they had the big one, they had 35,000 people show up. So you're probably going to expect around between 25 to 35,000 people at this. Probably around 30. I bet you some people do hold back because of
COVID. I did want to mention a vendor, though.
Yeah?
Because one of my dear friends and former coworkers and current hairdresser is going to be vending at Midsummer Scream. It's Mia's Monster Mash. It is a wig company. She does wigs, makes wigs, beautiful wigs, a lot of horror-themed ones that she'll be bringing. She also has some just, like, one wigs that are just a solo one that you can buy that are going to be special for the convention. Mm-hmm. But you can check her out on Instagram. I just have to shout her out because she started her own business during COVID and has just absolutely taken off. And I think it's amazing. So maybe you're cosplaying a spooky character and you don't have a wig. You maybe should stop by her booth and maybe she can help you guys out. And it's going to be booth 145.
Jim That's would cool. love a wig.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially if you ever cosplay Eddie, Jim. You need a nice
I believe. Oh. I don't know if she's going to have it at Midsummer Scream, but I know she's been working on some Eddie wigs. So.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
You heard it first here, folks.
That's fantastic. Ned, did you like this year's Stranger Things?
I did. I was down with COVID and was in for 2 weeks. So it really hit at a time where I needed entertainment. So I was really enjoying anything I can consume that wasn't, you know, the four walls of my apartment at that point. So,
the general has arrived, AKA Master Gold. Hello, General Gilman. So, let's talk a little bit about the convention itself. The way the convention is set up, it's kind of they have the big convention floor with a lot of the booths and everything, but they also have what's called the Hall of Shadows. And in just a second, Luke's going to give you a little video tour of what the Hall of Shadows looks like. It's really cool. It feels like nighttime at Halloween Horror Nights. They shut off all the lights in the big section of the convention center. It's all purple and fog, and it's fantastic. So we'll show you that in just a second. But they also have 12 haunted houses within the convention center. And your ticket gets you, you don't have to pay extra for the haunted houses. And a lot of these haunted houses are from, you know, they've had some, like Halloween Horror Nights sometimes will do a small maze to promote their stuff or some other, what are some of the ones around here that I'm forgetting? Scary Farm.
Reign of Terror.
All right. And Natalie's going to talk to us about that in just a second because that's cool. So they have a lot of these promotions for these haunted houses and it's really cool. Luke, let me know when you have the video link ready to go.
I could try to play it off the screen, or if it's down, it's trying to download, which could take 6 minutes. Unless that's too long to wait.
Hey, why don't you play it right off the screen like we usually do? We'll go ahead and do that. And this right here is the last time we were there, 2018, the Hall of Shadows, when he pulls this up. And then we're going to come back to you, Natalie, and see what kind of panels or events are kind of calling your name. You ready, Cheese?
Just good enough, I guess.
That looks good. Make it big. Did you start at the beginning? Okay, there we go. This is the Hall of Shadows. Yeah, go ahead. It's really cool. It's off to the side. You walk in.
I'm going to take the volume down because I don't think it's really adding anything.
Yeah, we don't need the volume. But it's really cool when you walk in. Look at this. You're entering Halloween Horror Nights at nighttime or, you know, Not Scary Farm. I love this. They do have a lot of the flashing lights, the fog. So if you have some sensitivities to that, then, you know, be careful when you go back here. But it looks like this is where half the vendors, the ones that want to be back in the Hall of Shadows are back here. It's just really cool. So, Natalie, I got to ask you we can go ahead and let that keep playing. From what you saw on the list and the panels and stuff, what is it that, what's something that kind of caught your attention?
Well, there were two panels on Saturday that were kind of intriguing to me. The first one it's called Just Scare Me. It's low budget horror filmmaking hacks. So that's Saturday at 12 o'clock in Classroom A. And so a filmmaker is going to be showing clips from a variety of his short films, and demonstrate filmmaking tips and tricks to kind of step up your game on your next horror production. So I thought, you know, for somebody who likes to make horror films, I was like, this seems like something I would absolutely really enjoy. The other thing on Saturday is I kind of touched on it a little bit already because I have this is my favorite haunted house in Los Angeles and it's Reign of Terror. And so Saturday at 2:15, in the theater, they're going to be doing a retrospective of the 10 years of Reign of Terror, which I did not realize it would have been around for 10 years. I feel like I've been going for maybe 4 or 5 years. So I didn't realize that it, I mean, I should have realized it's been around for that long because it's so like so well done that there's no way it could have been that new. Like all of the kinks have been ironed out. It's absolutely fantastic.
Wait, we saw you this past year at the Reign of Terror. And it's up in, is it Thousand Oaks or?
I think so.
Yeah. And basically around that area. Yeah, it's almost like they take over an abandoned mall is what it feels like. It's just it's huge. And it's not just
absolutely massive.
Yeah, you go in and it takes like half an hour to go through this gigantic haunted attraction with multiple different areas. And it's fantastic. I love going up to that. I love going up to that. Speaking, but you said the other one is tips and tricks for like indie filmmaking.
Yes.
Speaking of which, this past week at Comic-Con, you actually premiered an indie film that you directed. Won't you tell us about that?
I did. It's called Exit Therapy, and it was the first short film I've directed. It will probably be the last.
It was
really so much fun to, you know, make anything horror. I really enjoy. So it was a really great, you know, experience. We did some visual effects. We did some really fun practical makeup. So it was really fun to be able to go to Comic-Con and, you know, screen it for a small audience and be able to talk about the film.
That was awesome. Very cool. Yeah. Very cool. When you decide you want to share it widely with the world, let us know. We'd love to like post it on the website.
Of course.
Okay. So Katie, have you, besides the wigs, have you seen, No. I've got some as well. If you're
still I have one. I can't read anything about the panel without logging in, which is weird to me. I'm not a big fan of that. But
I think if you scroll down a little bit, it shows down, more information.
Mm-hmm. Well, this one just says like the names of it, and then when I click on it, it says I have to like log in.
I think if you scroll down, then you can get some information below the login.
Yeah, I was having the
I was
same
confused problem. At first.
Yeah. Oh well, whatever. Either way, you don't it doesn't have to describe it for me to be interested in this. I unfortunately cannot go this year, but this is what I would do if I could go. A Curious Conversation with Christine McConnell. I do not know if you guys have seen her show on Netflix. It is amazing. She's like just makes all these everything spooky. It's really hard to explain her without having that as a thing, but she had a show. I'm trying to find it on here because she was on the list of special guests. Oh yeah, so she's like a baker, photographer, artist, and she did the Curious Creations of Christine McConnell on Netflix, and it was great. And if you like spooky people and get to like see people who can create spooky things, I'm sure it's going to be a great panel. Another thing I'm looking forward to seeing, because I know I'll be able to see stuff online, is this is always when Universal Studios has a panel, and they usually unveil stuff about Horror Nights. So I'm always curious to see what they're doing on that.
Can you tell us who's going to be there? Like you're very well aware of who's the guest speaker, who's the guy that's in charge of Horror Nights.
John Murty. He's always there. Yeah. So he'll be there, and they usually announce a maze or two at Midsummer. It's pretty much all the time. One of the big, so he's going to be at the Saturday presentation only, but they have a Halloween Horror Nights Universal Studios Hollywood one. Mm-hmm. So always good turnout, always nice to see. They have announced a few mazes already, but of course they have not released all of them. But now that it is the end of July, going into August, we will hear a lot more announcements from Halloween Horror Nights, which obviously
and one of their mazes is right along. Goes right along with the last half of our show. It's a tribute piece to the original Halloween from 1978. So I'm really excited about that.
And the Scare Guy are big fans of Halloween Horror Nights. So, you know, we always talk about it. We're always all going.
We went last year with Natalie.
I feel like we've been several times.
Yes, yes.
I've Katie, never gone with, you guys with us
this year. Yeah.
You guys always go so last minute, though, and I can't do the last minute thing. So it's
I usually try to get like I don't do the weekend nights because those are like twice as much. I know during COVID for Halloween Horror Nights Hollywood, they usually have the big backlot area open. It wasn't open this most recent time. I think it was because of COVID. So hopefully we can return to that.
Although, this October. I liked the space they used, like by the parking lot. It was still they still utilized that space really well.
Still a full night. That's for sure.
But I liked that. It is a bummer when you don't get to go and have to scare zone and like that in the back lot. But that one area where those three mazes were by the parking lot was cool. You didn't have to walk when you were tired, so that was kind of nice too.
Oh, it is a lot of walk. It's ridiculous walking. Yeah, usually we do. I'll do both coasts. I'll do that when I do the Orlando one. I don't know if I'm going to hit Orlando this year, but it we'll see. The closer, I said the same thing last year, and I ended up going. So we'll. I'll probably hit Orlando. I'll find a way to do it. Hey, Cheeseman, have you had a chance to look over the schedule and see anything that? Wait, Katie, I did.
Yeah, I do want to just say one more thing about that last one.
Yeah.
Wait, are you asking Katie something?
No, you're good.
It's like we're on a Zoom call, people. This is a podcast. Jim. I just do want to say on Saturday. Yeah. I'd just like to say on Saturday, it's at 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock, that Halloween Horror Nights presentation, and they'll be revealing the design process of some of the mazes and, like Katie said, making special announcements. So that room does tend to get pretty full. So we've kind of been sneaking sometimes just because we're pressed. But if you're planning to go,
say that.
Why can't we say we're pressed? We are the con guy.
But we don't get special treatment.
I don't know. Maybe we do. Maybe we don't. We'll see. But get there early so you can get in if you're excited about that one.
All right. I have a, because you saw my costume at the beginning of the show. And full disclosure, although we are very long and lazy and haven't done it, myself and Luke and Natalie have flirted with the idea of putting together some kind of an entertaining Halloween themed project to put the film. But I love everything Halloween. It's my favorite thing. And there's one panel. I mean, there's a bunch of them that I'm really interested in, but there's one that if I can get there, I want to go on Saturday, July 30th at noon. It is Tricks in Terrors, A History of Halloween in America. Award-winning authors and historians Lisa Morton and Ted Doherty lead you through an illustrated journey into Halloween's past, where they explore what led to the now staggering multi-billion dollar industry, from the early traditions like trick-or-treating and jack-o'-lanterns to the modern era of high-tech haunted houses and theme park celebrations. Your hosts will share a variety of unique and enthralling bits of history Halloween fans are sure to enjoy. That's what I love. I love to, because it is kind of interesting how, when I was, guys, I'm older than everyone here by a foot, if not more. And because of that, I was a little bitty kid during the 1970s. And Halloween was so different back then. Haunted houses was like the JC. What's that?
You can't count that on one hand.
Shut your mouth. I came of age in the 80s, but like during the 70s, it was all JC's haunted house. During the 80s, we're, you know, on the East Coast, we had like small, like the fire department did their haunted house, or the churches did their, what was the thing the churches did? Judgment House. Remember the judgment houses?
Ours was called Hell Stop.
Hell Stop?
Oh,
I don't know. Yeah,
we went through hell.
I don't think my church.
They show you a car wreck at the beginning, and then they put you in a dark room, and these demons all flash around you, and then you go to hell and see Satan. It was kind of
from your church.
I just remember trunk or treating, like that's legit. What my
church put this on? Yep.
I think we got Natalie complaining. But what it was kind of a weird. I mean, I listen. No judgment for me, but they wanted to show you that the wages of sin is death. So if you go drunk driving, you're going to end up crashing and going to hell or all this other. It was it was really just an excuse to have.
Yeah, but cool what happens Halloween. If people liked it? And if you have a personality like mine that likes a haunted house and you're like, wow, they did a great job. Hell doesn't seem that bad.
I have a feeling that happened a lot. By the way, I'm a church guy, so I admire the ingenuity, but I prefer my good old fashioned haunted houses. If you know what I mean. Anyways, a couple of other ones. Wait, Luke, did you have another one you were talking about, Luke?
I was just saying you need an old-fashioned with your old-fashioned haunted houses. I do have other ones I can talk about.
Okay, do a couple more because we can't go through the whole schedule. To find the full schedule, go to midsummerscreen.org, and you'll have to scroll down towards the bottom. They have all the special guests. There's a certain 4 special guests I'm super stoked about, but I'll tell you about that in just a second. But then you have to find the schedule down there. And like Katie was saying, it's not the most user-friendly schedule You do have to click through it. I was trying to.
It's best to go on the phone app. Like, I'm accessing it really easily through the phone app, but
okay.
It took me going online and seeing that there was an app to know that, like, oh, I can go on here, and then you click on the days, and there's a nice visual and description for each one. So mm-hmm. I'm using screenshots from the app right now.
All right. Tell us about the ones that you're looking at, Luke, the panel.
Well, kind of starting on Friday, there's a really big panel with Walking Dead's Greg Nicotero. Let's Get Spooky.
And Greg, who we've had on our show here.
We did. Yeah. On Friday at 7:30 to 8:30, it's at Second Stage is the room. So Greg Nicotero, special effects makeup legend and director of AMC's The Walking Dead, in conversation with Leanna Vamp for a live recording of her podcast. Oh, Let's Get Spooky. They'll discuss Greg's career from working as an assistant to Tom Savini on Day of the Dead, which we talked about on our show as well, to taking the helm of the world's best known horror franchise, The Walking Dead. So if you're a Walking Dead fan, they'll be talking about that. And I'm sure he'll talk about some of the other things he did as well. You know, if he's talking his career. Hopefully he'll mention Jaws because he did the Jaws restoration that's at the Hollywood Museum, right? Not Hollywood Museum. It's which museum's it at?
It's at the Academy, of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences Museum over on Wilshire. Yep. Natalie, have you been to that yet?
I haven't. I really want to go. I watched them placing those little gold tiles on the outside of that building for like 4 years.
It has taken a while, that is for sure. All right, Cheese, what else?
So on Saturday, and I know Jim would be excited about this one too, the original Monster Kids, moderated by Kirk Hammett. I hope I said that name right. It's Saturday, 1:30 to 3 o'clock, main stage Grand Ballroom, which an hour and a half is definitely longer than, you know, your average panel, but I just expect there's going to be a lot of great stories because this is an unprecedented panel presented. Presentation features Sarah Karloff, the daughter of Boris Karloff.
It's cool.
Gosh, I'm not good at, but basically the kids of the original Universal Monsters. I don't want to go through and butcher people's names, but if you're a fan of the original Universal Monster, these are the children of them that are going to tell the stories of maybe they were on set or the stories they heard from their parents. So you'll get that deep inside look of where really kind of like horror really took off and began, especially in popular culture.
Real quick, Sarah Karloff, the daughter of Boris Karloff, who played what character? Frankenstein.
We just want to mess with you, Jim. We know that's Frankenstein.
There's Lynn Lugosi Sparks, granddaughter of Bela Lugosi, and Ron Chaney, grandson and great grandson of Lon Chaney Jr. Basically, Frankenstein, Dracula, and the Wolfman have descendants who will be gathering here to talk about their time. I think it's fantastic. I really want to go see that.
What else? And if you're a Metallica fan, it's being moderated by the guitarist.
Seriously?
Yeah, Kirk.
Yep. Anything else?
Well, that is it for the Monster Kids. But Reign of Terror is doing a 10-year retrospective, which I think we might have mentioned already.
Yep, you and Natalie, yeah.
And that's Saturday at 2:15 to 3:15 at the theater. I can't read, folks. I'm sorry.
Just say the theater. You don't have to say where it's at. It's all at the Long Beach Convention Center.
Yeah, it's the Long Beach Convention Center.
No worries. I'm super excited on Saturday at 3:30. There's horror comics come alive. I'm a big comic book fan, and it's going to be talking about how the history of horror comics and where they came from. There's also Short Film Block, WTF. They're having a film festival there that weekend, which is going to be kind of cool. Natalie, you should get a film in.
Well, I know. I know. I should have submitted to this.
What else, Cheese?
Switching over to Sunday, Fangoria presents Making Horror Fun Again, Sunday at 1:30 to 2:30 at the main stage. Horror leading screen and TV writers get together for one incredible panel, Making Horror Fun Again, featuring the creator of Scream, the screenwriters of Freaky and Lichent, and the creator of TV's Hannibal and American Gods. And they have a big description
Freaky,
here.
By the way?
What is Freaky? Is Freaky the show? It's with Vince Vaughn, right?
Yeah, it's a Vince Vaughn movie. I liked it. It was super fun.
That's going to be a big panel, though. I love it. I've always wondered why, you know, they did the Halloween panels like Scare-A-Lay. They never really did these big entertainment panels. And I see that we are getting close to running out of time. So we do want to talk about Halloween, the trailer. So anything else, Cheeseman?
There's the Spirit Halloween, the movie. The movie.
I'm so stoked about this.
At 3 o'clock.
I am so on the fence. Like, I will see it. Like, let's be real. And I'm intrigued, but I'm also like, oh no.
Have you heard about this one, Natalie?
Mm-mm.
It's a movie.
I'm a little concerned.
It's a movie about the Spirit Halloween stores.
Yeah. I gathered.
Let me see if I can find like the actual like synopsis.
Yeah, is there any? Yeah.
It sounds ridiculous. Like, it. Okay, we're going to IMDb. So, you know. Okay.
What else, Luke?
And the final one I'm kind of looking at, which I think we've been to this before, or one of their events, 30 Years of Zombie Joe's Underground Theater, is happening Sunday, and that's 4:30 to 5:30.
Yep.
And they kind of walk down memory lane and kind of show you some different things.
Has anyone here, I've been to a couple of Zombie Joe macabre and horror-themed plays and interactions. Have anyone else here been to them? They're pretty intense. You got to be...
Do you have to sign a waiver?
You're close to it. It's one of those things. I love it. They have this, and Luke, you've done it before, where you're in a room. It's completely quiet. They make everybody sit down, and then a black light comes on, and there's a scary ghoul that is now sitting in your face, 1 inch away from you, and you scream, and then the lights go off, and then you hear noises, and it comes on, and it's looking over your shoulder. It's scary. They're scary. Ooh. They do some really scary
stuff. I want to do that.
It's really cool. It is definitely for adults only, features nudity, but sometimes it's, I guess they do. They, every time I've seen it, they have. But
was that the one where they spit in each other's mouths?
Oh,
yes.
My God.
They did. We saw
if
this
you're into mouth spitting people. They got it there. You're going to be
not my favorite.
Somehow it's COVID safe. Maybe it's the angle. I don't know.
I don't think
like you can't
now
do that
COVID
anymore.
You guys want
to hear
what
happened to the good old days where you could spit in people's mouths? Jeez.
Thank God. Bye, Katie.
This is the synopsis for Spirit Halloween.
Okay.
From IMDb. When a Halloween store opens in a deserted strip mall, three friends, thinking they've outgrown trick-or-treating, decide to spend the night locked inside. But their night of spook-filled fun soon turns to outlandish survival. Starring Rachel Lee Cook, Christopher Lloyd, and Marla Gibbs.
Christopher Lloyd?
Wow.
Yes. And this is another thing that I just saw. So it says, did you know, under trivia, and who knows, I'm hoping this is true, but it says, the film will have an exclusive premiere of the trailer at the opening of Spirit Halloween on July 30th at their flagship store.
Oh.
Which will be accompanied by some of the cast members. Not any like the main ones, but yeah.
Where is their flagship store?
Supposed to come out in October.
Hmm? Where's their flagship store?
It doesn't say. I don't know. Huh.
Interesting.
But I do know that they opened this weekend. So
I bet you we'll see the trailer at Midsummer.
It says it'll be at that the trailer's being launched though at that thing on the 30th. Not it doesn't say at
okay. Oh, they're premiering the trailer.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Yes.
That's smart. So I wonder if it's like the rating. I'm sure it's gonna be PG-13. Like max.
I don't know. Yeah, probably I don't think it'll be rated R.
Which I would like the rated R version of that.
Yeah. I mean, with Rachel Lee Cook, though, I'm excited. I'm hoping it has kind of like, I know it's a lot to say, but like with Rachel Lee Cook, I think of like 90s movies. So I'm kind of hoping it has some like 90s like humor vibes to it.
I mean, it has to be fun. Like there's no way you could do this movie and it not be slightly campy and fun.
Yes. Exactly.
I love it. Luke, real quick, I'm trying to find it. What time was the filmmakers panel? I just want to take a look at it real quick. The creator of Scream.
Let me check the app.
Yeah, I'm looking real quick because I heard about. Here we go.
Is that one of the Fangoria?
Okay, let me look real quick. I just want to get
Horror Fun Again.
Yeah. So Making Horror Fun Again, featuring the creator of Scream. Is that gonna who? I guess Kevin Williamson? Is he going to be there?
Wes Craven?
The creator.
Yeah, I was going to say creator, because like...
West directed, but who was the creator?
It says moderated by Nay Bever, consulting producer of Queer for Fear,
and host of the
Queer Wolf podcast. Look, so are they showing clips of things, maybe?
I don't know, but on the heels of a wave of dark, self-serious subtext as text horror films, the genre has come close to forgetting something crucial. Horror is supposed to be a blast. Our panel has not forgotten this. I'm going to this panel. This sounds awesome.
Write the description, I'll tell you.
All right. Real quick, a couple of things that I'm excited about, if I can get rid of the schedule here. I'm not going to go through any more of the panels, but don't you just love it?
I do find it funny that what we still have left to talk about on this show
is the big one.
Is, you know, off of this panel title being, you know, fun and horror, and just how opposite that.
I know. Okay. I just have one thing I want to say. Okay, so Natalie, you know how you asked me what the rating of the show was?
Yes.
And if it's because I'm about to take it into our category because I hate this website. It just doesn't work. Okay, here we go. PJ Souls from Halloween will be there. She usually does come to some of these Halloween conventions. She's super great. And the cast of Rob Zombie's new Munsters movie will be there, which is going to be really cool.
Be interesting to see how that goes.
Bill Moseley, who we have had on our show, Otis in House of a Thousand Corpses, The Devil's Rejects, and Three from Hell, he's going to be there. But the horror kids. But here's what I'm excited about. There's so many special guests and everything, but there's 1, 2, 3, 4 of them all together. When I was a kid on Saturday morning, they had this, for lack of a better word, a drug infused. Some guy was tripping on mushrooms. His name was Sid Croft, Sid and Marty Croft, and they came up with Land of the Lost, H.R. Puffin stuff, Sigmund and the Sea Monsters, and this thing called Hats. It was the weirdest Saturday morning stuff, but I was addicted to it. How appropriate. I was addicted to this. But Land of the Lost, the original characters, Wesley Uhr, he played Wesley, the big brother. Kathy Coleman, she played the Holly Marshall, the younger sister. And then Philip Paley, who played Shaka. I always want to say Shaka Khan, but it's Shaka. The cast of the original Land of the Lost is going to be there for Friday and Saturday, and I couldn't be more excited. We almost had Wesley on this podcast, but he was unable to make it. But let me tell you guys, this is a cool panel. They're going to be there signing autographs, and you can bet your bottom dollar I'm going to be there getting my signatures. There's also an after party Saturday night that goes till midnight for anyone who has admission to the Midsummer Scream. If you want to get tickets, get them now, midsummerscream.org. And it's going to be a great weekend. Natalie, I have a question for you.
Oh, maybe I'll have an answer for you.
What did you think of 2018's reimagined or sequel, Halloween?
I was beyond disappointed. Okay. It's probably one of the most exciting reboots of a movie or, you know, reimagining, like you said. And I was so looking forward to it. I actually went and saw it at IPIC Theaters, which is a more expensive theater with a food and drink experience. And I was like, I'm spending all of my money for this thing. I was so excited. It was so disappointing. Of course, my cat wants to join in on this right now.
Hey, Charlie.
It was just a really disappointing, all of the elements that they had available to make this movie, I'm just really surprised that this is the version they came up with. And literally when I heard that Danny McBride was going to be a part of it, I'm like, I love everything that they've done, him and his team. And I'm like, how is there no element of fun in this when this is your greatest strength? Like, it's a very interesting. And I understand that the original didn't really have a ton of fun in it, but it was way more subdued, and it's a more cat and mouse. And it's like, okay, if
you talk about it, Loomis was hilarious. He yelled at some kids and then smiled after they ran away from the house.
I mean, there's moments, but it's like it is pretty serious throughout, you know. So it's I get maybe that's why there's no fun in it, but it just and Jamie Curtis's hair in it.
Before you stop. What about the sequel? Okay, it's Halloween. Halloween Kills. What did you think about Halloween Kills? They brought back some of the original cast from that original film. They brought back Lindsay.
First of all, how many martinis did you need for the first one? 2018.
She used to do the martini scale.
So I used to do the martini scale podcast. So that was a reverse star system. So that one, I probably gave it like a 4 or 5 martinis out of 5. So, and then the second one was like, give me the whole shaker and the bottle of vodka. Like, this is just not unbearable.
Enough. It was,
really bad. And again, I was trying to like, okay, just calm down. Maybe this is part of the trilogy and it's going to get better. And it was just, and I watched it with a group of friends and we made Jiffy Pop popcorn. We made cocktails and it was like, we're setting up a good experience. And it was awful. Absolutely awful. I was like, how is it worse than the first?
I know.
It's funny because last season I hadn't seen the Halloween, the new 2018 one or Halloween Kills. Mm-hmm. I did watch them like a couple months ago and I was talking to my roommate and I was like, I saw Halloween Kills, but I don't remember it. Or at least I don't remember if I saw it. And I'm like, if I don't remember that I saw it, it was really bad because I'm pretty sure I did watch it. I like double featured the two and I can't even remember it. So that isn't a good start for that movie.
I mean, it's just, I could go on all night about that. Like when someone asked me why I love horror movies because of the season of Halloween. And I love the season of Halloween. I became a lover of the season and holiday of Halloween because of the movie Halloween, the original 1978 movie. Loved it so much. It kind of glued me to the holiday. It's that movie that made me what I am today. And I even its sequel,
why'd you do that?
The original Halloween, I love. My mom watched it when it came, when it first came on NBC in 1980 or 1981. They had the TV version where they actually filmed a couple more scenes. And she can't look at that mask to this day. It still terrifies her. And like,
well, that's the thing. The original is terrifying still. If you watch it now, it's still so well done.
It was an indie film, $300,000, and was the budget. And then at its time, it became the most successful independent film of all time. I think it got close to like $80 million in its initial run. But like what you were saying, Natalie, it showed such restraint. There was an elegance and restraint to it. It wasn't just splatter. And we all enjoy some good splatter, some good kills. But the original Halloween, the cat and mouse, the atmosphere, the creeping. A lot of people say it's boring. Those people are dumb. But I don't mean that. Yeah, I do. So I loved it. And so I've loved the Halloween franchise ever since, suffering through some really bad movies. I don't really particularly want to ever see the Rob Zombie versions again, but although
I prefer the Rob Zombie over this latest version. Honestly, I really do, because that had a style and a tone to it that kind of was throughout that. Okay, you kind of gave up a couple of things, but you kind of had this really gritty, dark, disturbing look of it. And I was like, oh, you know what? I'm kind of fine. And the jump scares were great. They were way more effective. This feels campy without acknowledging that it's campy. And it's taking itself so seriously that it's like, I'm sorry. I'm a big fan of, you know, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I cannot look at Kyle Richards and let's not all address how ridiculous this is. Like, because she can't act as an adult now. Like, it just, come on. Like, you're doing it for the fun and for the audience. So let's play into that. Yell at other rich women, though.
That's probably what they need to do for Michael. Just bring in some rich lady for her to yell at.
Well, and also, then kill her. Kill her. Give us what we wanted. It just, come on.
I'm glad they didn't kill her. I really am. But let's talk about, real quick, what wasted deaths? The deaths that they did have with their major characters, they killed the nurse from the original Halloween. They killed Tommy. Apparently, it looked like they killed Tommy at the end. They, by the way, spoilers, blah, blah. They killed Judy Greer's character.
Which I'm kind of like, is that, are we going to find out something else? Like, you know, like, how is that possible? Like, how is
I'm
that
starting
real?
To remember the movie now.
Okay, Luke, real quick, before we talk about the trailer, what did you think about the Halloweens that we're talking about?
I think there was elements that was good and felt kind of like the creeping through the neighborhood kind of stuff.
Oh, there were a couple of good moments. Absolutely.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I just feel like, yeah, they just missed the mark kind of in it. And then part of it really just made me like, I prefer H2O better, more than these.
And oh, absolutely. Yeah. H2O was fantastic.
Which, watching the trailer, which I will probably get into, I'm feeling a little more of that again.
Yep.
But there's definitely, I mean, there were elements of humor, but again, not quite enough, kind of like Natalie said. But I did like the scene, you know, with the kid, like in the, where he was in the closet and that funny kid that was getting babysat and stuff.
That he was so underused, though. That was, you're talking about the 2018 Halloween, yes.
And the scene that, you know, where they did kind of the Halloween 2 thing where they do the single shot following all the way through. Like, I think Michael Myers works best when he's just there and no one's kind of looking except for a couple people, like when he's really the boogeyman. And then the second one just became way too much with the riots and all these people charging the hospital, then that guy jumping out, and it was just like,
that was so unnecessary. I think they were trying to make some social commentary about group and mob violence. Okay, it's bad.
I just remembered why I didn't like the second movie now.
Yeah.
It's reminding me.
I blocked all of that out. I was like, there's a big chunk of the movie I don't remember, and now I remember.
Yeah.
It kind of felt like a side story of, like, this is also what's going on during the same time as, you know, like, it kind of just felt a little, like, messy.
Filler. It was filler for the majority of the movie.
What's that, Luke?
If you took probably half the movie on both of them and cut out all the stupid stuff, you probably won't be missing anything and be like, you know what? This short film version of it's not.
No, so cool. There's nothing in part two that I'd keep. Nothing.
And I honestly feel like maybe two movies instead of three would have been better. You know, and cutting a good amount out of the first, most of the second.
Yeah. The best parts of both movies are the flashbacks to the original. When you see, although there was a weird subplot line about a cop planting evidence, or I forgot what it was and I'm sure it's going to pay off in the third one, but right now it's just silly. It's just like, okay, here's the deal. The first movie, the start of 2018 ruined the end of the first movie. Michael Myers was missing. And then at the beginning of 2018, they caught him 1 minute later. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
All right, now I'm remembering more stuff from the second one.
Anytime I'm doing something like this where I'm on a podcast or it's a film that I'm excited that's going to come out, I want to spend the time to go back and revisit and watch it again.
Yeah.
I refuse to do that with these two. And that's still, as much as I despise those two movies, I'm still going to see this third one. I'm going to finish it out because that's how I am. But I refuse to watch the first two movies because I feel like if I watch those two movies, especially back to back, I will not want to watch the third. I'll be so angry that I wasted more time.
So you're kind of like Laurie Strode with Michael Myers, but it's the action movies itself that you're like this post-traumatic stress thing about. Yes. Like, I just can't even look at these movies again, or you're still like trembling over it. How bad?
Yeah. Hey, Luke, real quick, can you grab the link to the trailer and we'll just play it on without the sound, and we'll kind of, you know, I don't think that's it. But real quick, let me just say the New York Post has an article where they interviewed the filmmakers. It says Hollywood is taking one last stab at Michael Myers. I do like that line. That line is better than the movie. So
it's never
Universal Pictures debuted a teaser trailer this past week for the third film, starring Jamie Lee Curtis as Laurie Strode, where the character she's been playing since 78 in the trailer. We're going to see it in a second. Curtis, 63, is shown pointing a gun at the infamous Myers and saying, "Come on, let's go." Before she gets thrown to the table. So and banged around and knocked up against the walls and just beat up. John Carpenter, who directed the original Halloween, said the newest installment, directed by David Gordon Green, is a departure from the previous films. That's a nice way of saying
it. No, that's very nice.
I'm just going to say Jason Blum. Is it Blum or Bloom? How do you say it?
Blum.
It's Blumhouse, yeah. He said that it's very good. I'm very excited. We have a few little things to fix, right? But I'm very excited for this because this is our last Halloween movie. But then he went back and said, I didn't say it's the last Halloween movie. It's just our last Halloween movie. Oh, that's interesting. Hey, Luke, do you have the trailer?
Not yet. I was tempted to play a clip, though, that of the old movie just to piss off Natalie, but...
No, don't do it. But, like, one thing that, like, Luke has been saying, as filmmakers, I mean, we like to come at this from filmmakers, and I know that the thing that makes me mad is when you get a whole big pile of money and a lot of writers, and you still can't make a good movie. Halloween seems like it would be so... I don't know. But the filmmakers acted like they were big fans of the franchise and just what they did to Katie. You remember, did you see both of them?
I did. Finally. Okay. Yes.
All right. Is there anything you remember? By the way, I don't want to diss on it too much because I probably liked them more than Natalie did. I did like some of the flashbacks. I liked the neighborhood scenes. I liked one of my favorite scenes in the first movie is when the granddaughter is all by herself. She's looking at the fence. Her friend is dead on the fence and Michael, and she sees Michael and she has to run into the neighborhoods to escape him. All right. So Luke is going to play for us the trailer and we can talk over it as we do it because he's not going to play the sound. All right. Let's look at her trailer from the new Halloween. So cool.
Looks like a typical Halloween night.
Yeah. Look, it's a Halloween night,
neighborhood kids.
Hey, can you get rid of those ads?
No, I don't think it.
And so we're watching as we kind of walk into it. It looks like an old house, almost the Myers house, but I don't think it is.
Stairway.
See, creeping upstairs.
The creeping Michael Myers look, kind of like the original first scene from Halloween.
He opens up the door and...
Oh.
And this is just a teaser. Michael's right? Opening
up. And there's Jamie Lee Curtis with a gun pointed at him. But then...
with her hair still down.
Oh, geez.
We're giving this lady a hair tie.
They're doing some flashbacks from the original, though.
Yeah,
that always bothers me when it's
and her hair looks much better.
I understand you want them to look a certain way, but let's be realistic. Anyone with long hair would be like, "Put this up. I can't see. I can't move." Like,
but it looks
like Jim and Luke don't understand.
You're putting your hand in the garbage disposal.
Like,
it is to me. It's like obviously this is going to be from maybe their final face off.
Yeah.
So like what else is the rest of the movie then?
It's very
and vague. Why are you showing me this? Like I don't know.
It's literally just a teaser. Like it's the epitome of a teaser. Like you don't know much about it and it's like what are you hiding from us? Like but also a scene that it says that Blum teased in June that it would rile up fans. Does he mean in a good way or a bad way? Because, like, rile up fans and could mean multiple different things.
We have a friend who has come on the podcast. Let me get his. And his name's Jamie.
Yeah.
And wait a second. I'm going to see if he sent me. Okay, and Luke. Hey, Luke, do you have the link that Jamie sent us? A pre-screen. They showed the movie at CinemaCon, and some reviews have leaked out. I'm trying to find them. I no longer have him on my phone. This is weird. Anyways, let's just say this. Oh, I found him. And Luke. I should have had this ready to go. Here we go. Here's some of the reviews. We've been talking about this movie for a week. Here's what it says. Oh, I'm sorry, guys. I'm so old. Yeah. Halloween Ends reaction complains about same old, same old. It said.
Put on your glasses, Jim.
I just can't see this at all.
Put on your bifocals.
I'm going to start dropping the F-bombs here. Sorry, Mom.
Oh, we haven't dropped any F-bombs.
I know, we're still a PG movie.
I'm so proud of myself.
I know.
I've ever gone this long with that.
Here we go. The film is a terrible embarrassment for all concerned. Extraordinarily predictable, and you can see every single jump scare and twist coming from a mile away. Jamie Lee Curtis narrates the film, but she's only a major presence at the end. I don't want to give away any plot points.
You
kind of already did.
The main character, blah, blah, blah.
Take that back, Jim.
Jim, what have we've talked about this. You may not think it's a spoiler, but other people will.
Yeah, you just said a major spoiler.
The audience seemed into it, but there were also some snickers near me. Listen.
What did I just say? It looks like they're showing us the final scene.
Yeah. And the whole movie up leading that to that is just going to be a lot of fluff.
Well,
again, this should have been one movie or maybe two.
Maybe two. Yeah.
Yeah. Him sneaking up on these random.
Who is that? Characters. Well, they're going to have a bunch of new people.
Like, honestly, like the first one when I was watching 2018 and then again when I was watching Kills, it just seemed super tropey and not.
Wait. Oh, that was the old film. Yeah. Katie, I'm sorry, Katie, go ahead.
It just seemed kind of tropey, but not in a good way. Like there were just certain things that you're just like, oh really? Like that's the route they're going. And that's how I felt multiple times through watching both of them. And I don't recommend watching them back to back like I did, because I just was like, I have been watching this for 8 hours. Like it wasn't 8 hours, but it felt like 8 hours.
Are you ready to watch this character crying the whole movie about like, I killed my partner?
That's right. That's his backstory. We saw it back in the flashbacks.
I don't think I'll rush to see it. I'll see it, but I'm not going to be like, I have to see this.
Well, I will.
I'm seeing it opening night.
Thursday. Even though I have, you know, AMC A-list, I was very happy that it was on Peacock, Halloween Kills, because I was like, the day it came out, and I was like, great, I don't even want to support it in a way at the theater.
I forgot, they released it online.
Yeah, which I'm kind of curious if this is going to be released on Peacock day and date. No?
I doubt it.
Just theaters?
I don't know, but.
Yeah.
I don't know. It depends on the movie. Like, it, I think it would
seems kind of weird. To release the second one on Peacock. I mean, I understand it was still
pandemic.
Yeah,
that's why.
But I agree with you. Were movie theaters closed?
They weren't closed for the second one.
When was that? 2021? Yeah.
It was still early enough that people were still hesitant to flock to the theater, and they knew that by only having it in the theater, it would suffer.
We're on our 30th variant by then, probably.
But here's the deal. For those of us, and I hear what Natalie's saying, my love affair with the first film is so strong. I will see it through to the end, no matter how bad this gets. It's kind of like, you know, we finished Star Wars, for crying out loud. I'm going to finish Halloween. But I kind of like Star Wars more than most people did. And Luke, you had some idea. Like, the thing that they ruined, because it looks like they're going to try to go back and do some more Halloween films again with the franchise. What they should have done is this, and we've talked about that. Michael Myers should not have been in an insane asylum from the first film through this one. He should have been missing. That way, if they want to go back and make more Michael Myers films, they could show us what happened in the 80s, in the 90s. Where has he been? Where has he been killing? It would have been cool if they made this like, every so many years, Jamie Lee Curtis's character, Laurie Strode, faces... The way it is now, H2O was great. She was a mess, but she was a strong mess. Mm-hmm. This one, they portrayed her at the beginning as a strong woman. But then she breaks down and she's frazzled and she's a mess and her hair's all frizzy. And I'm like, wait a second, I don't get what
they
you're
make
doing.
Her out to be like the town loony.
Yeah.
Which it's like, that's not, and then you discover that it's all premeditated. She knows what the fuck she's doing.
Yep.
She's kind of planned it, even though her execution of it still feels sloppier than the woman who has planned all of this.
Yeah.
And where it's like, H2O is just, she's just a badass. That's it. And I she's a mom H2O
so much.
And she's a mom and she's protecting her kid and she's protecting herself. And that's so much better. So much better than this. Yeah.
So when I was at Comic-Con in 2018, when the first film was coming out, they had the special Wednesday night's presentation, or maybe it was Thursday, a presentation with Jamie Lee Curtis and the cast coming in to introduce Halloween. Mm-hmm. And it was an amazing time. And everybody was so stoked. I remember a man stood up and he came up and he came, he went to Jamie Lee Curtis. I mean, he was asking a question. He said, you know, I just got to tell you, and it was a tender, but we have it on our YouTube page. It's got more hits than any video we've ever put on there. You know, like it got like 30,000 in a day. We just poked. He starts saying, Jamie Lee Curtis, I just have to tell you, your portrayal of Laurie Strode changed my life. And we're like, well, wow. He goes, he was at home and somebody broke in and they were breaking into his house and they wanted to kill him. And he just, it sounds silly, but it was cool the way he was like, I remembered Laurie Strode, how she fought back and she didn't become a victim in the original film. And he broke down crying and Jamie Lee Curtis came down off the podium up the stand. She hugged him and took him aside. And it was Yvette Nicole Brown was up at the podium. She goes, hey y'all, we have a church. And it was the best time. And it was amazing. But they were talking about the strength of the Laurie Strode character, how mm-hmm. strong she was. And okay, she made some plans for this new series, but she just seems so, like you say, a basket case. And that's, I think they're going to make her super strong this last one. Who knows? Maybe she and Michael are going to both fall slow motion off of a tall building and splatter or something.
But that was even like, she didn't leave the hospital in the second movie, now that I'm remembering it. And no, it was like the scared, mm-hmm. like, you know, woman. I don't know.
I just remembered that too. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, get her out of this place. What is happening?
It was almost like an homage to the original Halloween 2, where Laurie Strode was in the hospital and her character only appeared, I think, for like 20 minutes of a 2-hour film. It was kind of weird.
Yeah. I can't.
All right. Final thought? Cheeseman, we haven't heard your thoughts before we close the podcast.
Again, you don't really see much from the trailer, but I do like, you know, the Halloween in the streets, the POV kind of thing. And like we were saying, it looks like it's more that scene with him facing off with Laurie Strode. But I just hope she's more like the H2O Laurie Strode in that. And I think we'll maybe get more of that. But we'll probably know more once we see the trailer. But hearing those reviews just really discourages me that, you know, it's just like you almost want the studio to go in and do the Snyder Cut thing like now versus releasing it. And then they got to go back and redo the whole thing.
I don't trust these guys.
But what I think they need to do is take H2O, do a deep fake of the old Michael Myers mask on that movie's mask, which was horrible, which was the worst part about that movie was the Michael Myers mask of H2O, and then re-release that to be the new Halloween movie.
You guys all mentioned the street and like the Halloween decorations, which even if you go back and look at the street, it's like they decorated 4 houses and like the rest of the street is pretty dark.
That too.
So it's like, what kind of budget does this effing movie have that it's like, do the whole street. I'm sure you had to lock up the whole street. This looks like a budget of a movie I would do where I'm like, I can only afford to decorate 2 houses.
And like, if it's a dark scene, even just putting lights up on the whole street or pumpkins, like
something, give me some depth. Like,
or do they live somewhere where, or do they, does no one else celebrate? Just those 4 houses, maybe. I don't know.
Can someone please tell me why Laurie Strode still lives in Haddonfield if she's so distraught?
Who knows? I don't get that either.
Yeah.
Oh, she's got family there. Wait, she's got family there.
Yeah.
So?
I do got to say one thing. Has anybody else been kind of freaked out that Michael Myers is going to like sneak up behind Katie? Because
it looks like
we're going to have Michael coming, sneaking up slowly behind them. It's Katie. Because there's this doorway.
I would hope that Emily would tell me because she is sitting back there.
Okay. All right. Hopefully we get a new trailer soon. I know that we've all dissed on it so much tonight.
Yeah.
I love the Halloween franchise. You know, our expectations are so low, it's going to beat my well, I don't know. We'll see what happens. Please do something. All right, guys. My name is Jim Fry. Thank you for following us tonight. Thank you for watching the show. You can find me at James D. Fry on Instagram, or just check out thescareguy.com or theconguy.com for any news about the scary season coming up. Natalie, where can folks follow you?
At Natalie Michelli. Make it real easy, except you can't spell my last name. Or say it. So, I mean, good luck.
I've known you for so many years and I still get it wrong.
I know. You get everybody's name wrong.
That is true.
This is true. KT.
I am KT Christine on all social media, including TikTok and Twitch. Hoping to get back to Twitch one of these days, I will, but I can't promise that. looking forward to the spooky season. There is one thing I wanted to mention. I will do it very quickly in closing. There is a haunt happening right now in the valley. If you guys are in Los Angeles, it's in Woodland Hills at the Pierce College. It started last weekend. It goes Thursdays through Sundays until August 28th. It is Valley Fright Nights. There are three mazes, or three houses, I should say. Scare zones, food, fun, all sorts of stuff. It goes from 8 to 11 on Thursdays and Sunday, I think it said. And then Friday and Saturday, it's 8 to midnight. Tickets are $49. They're on sale now. If you go to their homepage at valleyfrightnights.com, there is a little video, and it says the Summer Scare 2022. So if you guys want to get into the spooky season and go to an actual horror event, go check it out. I'm hoping to go like next weekend or something maybe. So we'll see.
All right.
And if I do, I will, of course, be letting the Scare Guy channels know so you guys can follow along with me.
You bet.
Awesome. You should do a live stream.
Yeah.
What about you, Cheese?
Well, you can find me at Midsummer Scream this weekend.
Yep.
And also on Twitter and Instagram at Cheese on Couch here on the screen, people.
All right. And before we go, I want to encourage you to check out. We have another podcast that we just posted yesterday. For those of you who are watching right now, we're right smack in the middle of Shark Week, and I love Shark Week on Discovery Channel. So in celebration of Shark Week, we did an interview with the writer and director of a brand new shark thriller, The Reef Stalked. It's about a great white shark terrorizing four women on vacation on an island. It's really kind of cool. Good special effects, and you can check out our interview with the writer director of that. It opens in movie theaters Friday and on demand. So anyways, check that out, guys. That's all I have for this week. Welcome back to the scare season. Welcome back to the scare guy. I'm looking for our closing. All right. Welcome back to the our closing. Natalie, so great to have you join us, and hopefully you can join us more as we head into the Halloween season. Katie,
I love it. Count me in.
All right, guys, we'll see everybody later. Bye-bye.